So about a month ago, Pastor Harry asked me if I would preach on this particular Sunday, and we're doing a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and so you've got the assignment about worry. Well, I've been worrying about it ever since, because I tend to be a worrier. When my wife tells me something, I say, well, how long have you had it? For a while. Well, why didn't you tell me? Well, I knew you would worry about it, yeah, so I didn't tell you. So it didn't take her too long to figure that out about me. So, but yet, I guess I felt that God kind of telling me, look, Gary, it's about time that you really dealt with this and what it means. And so I could have, and Harry gave me the out to just preach on anything I wanted to. I said, okay, I'll take the assignment. Now, I'd like to, just before I preach this sermon, I'd like to just make a couple of comments. The issue of mental illness and so forth is very, very, very much in the news. There are, there's chemical imbalances, there are medications, there have been great strides in that. So please, please, I don't want anybody to, okay, I'm going to stop my medications or whatever because I can be healed of anxiety, healed of worry. Maybe you can, but there's a process. And so please continue following your doctor's advice and instructions. And also, I do not want you to feel more guilty. Maybe you are dealing with that, and then you hear, that it's a sin, and oh, now I've really got something to worry about, because what if I'm not forgiven? So please, with those two caveats, I'm going to proceed. Worry that's kind of every day, that we can control, that sometimes, consumes our life. So before we read this passage, let's join together in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, and you've given us this assignment and to reflect on about that, not to worry. And Lord, help us to recognize and help us also to experience the good news here, the liberating news. And you are speaking to each and every one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 6. Notice 2 weeks ago, Pastor Harry dealt with, you can't serve two masters. You'll hate the one and love the other. You can't serve God and money or mammon. And then it goes in, therefore. So there's definitely a connection between the two. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour or a cubit? Single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for its own. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, some of you have dogs, and you love your dog, and you they're wonderful pets. But sometimes, let's face it, they can be annoying. They tend to bark at the wrong times. You may have a guest coming, or you know, if you're kind of by an alleyway, they're barking and they're yapping, and so but sometimes you have pretty good control over your dog, and you say, "Sasha, be quiet," and Sasha is quiet. But the next day, the dog's barking again, and you turn to Sasha and you say, "Sasha, didn't I tell you yesterday that you shouldn't bark?" Now, if Sasha could talk, she would probably say to you, "Look, I'm a dog. Dogs bark. It's in our DNA. That's just the way it is." This morning, we listen to Jesus, who tells us not to worry. And maybe there have been some times when we have said, I'm not going to worry about this. But then the next day, something else comes up, and we worry. And Jesus might say to us, "Look, didn't I tell you yesterday you shouldn't worry?" And we might respond, "Jesus, I'm a human being. It's part of our DNA. We have a sense of the future, and we project things of today into the future, our illnesses or whatever it might be, and these are worrisome." If I would pass a mic around and ask all of you to give a short little story about what you are worrying about, I think that there would be as many different stories as there are people in the audience. We all worry about things. I'll just name a few of them, and you can multiply them. You know, climate change is a big, big issue these days. And especially when we're, at least that's what's purported, we are feeling it through the fires that are raging in our province. At this time, we worry about what's going to happen. Are there going to be low lands that are going to be covered by the ocean? Are there going to be shores, dwellings on the shores that are going to be taken down because of flooding? We worry about that. Then again, there are other people who worry about what people are doing to combat climate change. What's that going to do to the economy of our province? What's that going to do to the oil and gas industry? What's that going to do to our lifestyles? And so that we can spend some time worrying about. There's China and Taiwan. There's Russia and the Ukraine. Right now, it seems to be quite limited, but again, we can project into the future. We can project, and what if the U.S. gets involved against China? And so it could be a conflagration, and so we worry about these things. It can be something much more closer to home, right? It can be, I wonder if I have the first signs, or my spouse has the first signs of dementia or Alzheimer's. And then we can create a whole scenario of what life is going to be like, and we worry about it. Today is Mother's Day. And one of them, you know, when you get kids, you have reasons to worry, younger or teenagers, or it carries on. the drug culture and this whole now the whole gender issues and all of these things. What how are my kids going to be impacted by these things? And again, that can set you off all sorts of worry. I'm worried already about June 9th, or next year. You see, as a diabetic, I need, I can only get my driver's license for 2 years in a row, and then I have to have, amongst other things, an eye test. And I'm kind of right at the line. And so I've already been trying to find all sorts of eye charts and maybe memorize the lines. But again, I'm already worried next year about what if I can't drive anymore? I don't know if those mopeds are going to be something that I'd. Again, there are so many different things that you can worry about. And there's, of course, anxiety and worry is a major, major item in our society. Worry is associated with depression, high blood pressure, heart attacks. Some people purport that there's a connection between worry and cancers, some cancers, ulcers, lack of sleep, excessive drinking, dependence upon drugs, and even suicide. It is an issue that affects us. I just happened to read in the paper this week that a Redderian, a person by the name of Helena Green, wrote a best-selling book called Anxiety Therapy at Home, Dancing with Your Shadow. It's a bestseller, and apparently she was autographing that book yesterday at Chapters. So that is an introduction. I think it's important that we deal with this subject about worry and to look at what Jesus says and to hear his liberating message, do not worry. This passage is, of course, part of the Sermon on the Mount. I look at the Sermon on the Mount as a description. In the Old Testament, there was the laws. You shall have no other gods. You shall not have an idol. You shall not take his name in vain. You shall rest and so not commit adultery and not murder and all these. You shall not. Whereas in the New Testament, because of what Jesus Christ has done, and because the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, it is a description of who we are in him. And so these words in the Sermon on the Mount beautifully describe what a Christian looks like. Now, I will be the first to admit that I am not always salt and light. I don't always pray the way I should be praying. I don't always have control of my anger. And so I don't fit this description. But yet, it is the description of a Christian. So it's just like, you know, if your car, you have a description of the way your car should function, and if it's not functioning that way, you say, okay, I need some help with this vehicle. And so if you are not, if your life is not described by the Sermon on the Mount, then what do? You come back on your knees and you say, Lord, this is who you have made me to be. This is who you have redeemed me to be. And so please help me with your spirit that I may walk in your ways, that more and more I may comport and I might be more like you. What does it mean to worry? Well, the old English word has the meaning behind it of to strangle. I found that very interesting because you may recall in the Sermon of the Soils in Matthew 13, where the word is sown on different types of soils. One of the soils is thorny soil. And then what does it say there? But the worries of this life choke the word, making it unfruitful. You see, that's what worry can do. It makes life unfruitful. And that's why I believe Jesus is so concerned about that if we spend our time worrying, we are not being fruitful for his kingdom. We'll talk about that in a moment. But seek first his kingdom. And when we're concerned about all sorts of things here in this life, we're not really worrying about the kingdom. We're not being fruitful. And so this is what God is really what Jesus is really after. And so why do we, what is Jesus wanting us to understand here? Well, Jesus points us to the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, and his argument is very clear, that if God provides for the birds and God provides for the plants, he's certainly going to provide for you the crown of creation, those who were created in his image. But do we really believe that? Do I really, really believe that God is caring for me? You know, there's sometimes when I'm praying, when I'm thinking, I think, God, you have 7 billion clients here in this world. In Asia, in India, China, all over the world. Do I really think that you kind of know little of me here in Canada, in Alberta? Yeah, and not only the 7 billion in the world today, but also those already in heaven. I know as a pastor in a congregation, it was hard to keep track of 300 people, let's say, in a congregation. You kind of felt guilty at times that you forgot something. But here, God, can God keep track does he really listen to me? It's overwhelming to think about. And then, of course, there are situations in life, well, sometimes people say, you know, life serves us lemons. There are tough times, there are diagnoses, and there's accidents, and there's all sorts of, I'm thinking now of the fires. There's somebody here this morning who has been evacuated from Fox Creek, and so it's a real situation. And so, God, is that an example of you caring like the birds and the flowers of the field when sometimes our homes are absolutely destroyed? Is that testimony that we can trust in you? And so these are really, yeah, live situations. But the good news is that God knows us by name. And he loves us with an everlasting love. And how do I know that? I don't know it, first of all, by looking at the situations in my life, but I look at it by looking at the cross of Jesus. That's where I know that he loves you and that he loves me. And that is so very important to keep in mind, that at the very core of our lives, we are grateful, we are thankful. And worry and thanksgiving cannot coexist. Let me say that again. Worry and thanksgiving cannot coexist. So yes, life serves us lemons. But as Max Lucado in the speech that I heard says, but we don't have to suck on those lemons. And so, yes, God cares. God knows us. I was talking to somebody recently who's going through some very tough times. We talked about family and friends and the support that he had. But then he said, but we have the Lord. And I could just, it just resonated in his voice. That made the path, well, if not bearable, but at least you could go on from day to day. Because you knew that the Lord was there. A few years ago, I retired. As you may know, at that time I was by myself, so I no longer had Joanne's disability pension. I no longer had checks signed by Elsie McKinnon. And so in basically one fell swoop, my income was down about 70%. I still had a mortgage. I still had my car payments and all the, and so, yeah, you pondered, if I may say, I worried about how life would carry on and would I be able to face things and meet things or would I have to sell or whatever. Anyway, it was the spring of the year, and so and you know what happens, the leaves from the last fall, they were still around, and they kind of gathered in the corners of the house, and so I took out my rake, and I gathered the leaves. But I looked down, and hey, that's not a leaf. It turned out to be a $100 bill. I thought, are my neighbors into counterfeiting here? I mean, you don't find $100 bills scattered around. So I took it to the bank and explained, could you tell me if this is the real or genuine article? Yes, it is, sir. Okay, thank you. Now, $100 just these days doesn't go a long ways. But it was like an answer. God's, I got this, Gary. You don't have to worry. I'll take care of those worries. You just serve me on a daily basis. So I still rake my leaves, and I'm still kind of looking out for, but I haven't found another one. But, yeah, okay, that's, my story. But I'm sure all of you have stories of coincidences. That if the Lord opens your eyes, you see that He does care for you and that He does provide for you. Also in those difficult situations that you experience in life and that are inevitable. Now, that does not mean, of course, that we just kind of sit back and okay, well, the Lord will provide. No, we talked about this actually in men's group yesterday, that God provided a system. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the fields. They don't say, okay, Lord, where are you going to get, you're going to feed me now, or you're going to build my nest, says the robin. No. They are busy. You know, sometimes, and also people of our background, if you will, they'll say, no, we're not going to get inoculated. We're not going to get a polio shot. We're not going to get a pertussis. We're not going to get these things. No, God will provide. Isn't that what it says in Matthew 6? God, how does God provide? God provides by this system. God provides with our ingenuity, with our brains, and with our science, and with all. That's the way God is providing for us. You know, look at birds. They travel thousands of miles to stay warm for the winter, and then they travel thousands of miles back. So, yes, there are issues in your life that you ought to be concerned about. I ought to be concerned about diabetes. It does not mean that I, okay, well, God, I'm your child, you take it. No, you have to exercise, you have to take your medications, you got to watch your diet, you do all of these. This is the way that God is feeding me and nourishing me. So yes, there are situations that you can be truly concerned about. But don't let that flow into worry. I know that's a lot easier said than done. A lot easier said than done. But I guess I take as my example Jesus. Jesus, who in the Garden of Gethsemane, I think you can call it anxiety. I mean, he was literally sweating blood. And he prayed, let this cup pass from me. He could project into the future just the next few days, and he could see that it was a hellish torment that he had to go through. If possible, let this cup pass from me. He was concerned. But did he worry? But God, not my will be done, but yours be done. And talk about fruitfulness. Because he then went the way of that hellish torment, you and I have a claim to life, life everlasting. So that's the promise we have from God. And that's, you know, daily. You know, okay, I guess I better stop worrying. No, every day again, Lord, don't let me concern. Help me to be reminded of who you are and whose I am. There's one other aspect of worry that we need to address because it's here in this passage. Note how the passage begins with the word therefore. Immediately prior to this passage, Jesus tells us that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve God and mammon or money, as the NIV says. So therefore, do not worry. Well, what's the connection between the two? Well, notice some of the older translations read, take no thought. They don't have the word worry, just take worry. They have, take no thought for the morrow. And some translate, be not careful. I mean, full of care for your life. What is Jesus getting at? Well, what is it that consumes your thinking, your thoughts? And that's usually followed by your actions and what you're living for. If your consuming passion, material possessions, whether it be your bank account, your toys, your house, or Jesus wants you to ask yourself the question and myself the question, are these becoming gods? Are these becoming mammon? You know, Satan is very subtle. Yes, he can persecute the church, and many people are being persecuted, but then you're kind of, okay, you steel yourself, you stand up for it. But in our affluent society, Satan is much, much more subtle. You know, think about the so-called seven deadly sins. You know, we are to have rest. The whole commandment, the fourth commandment, you shall rest. But we can turn that rest into sloth, into laziness. We need to eat. We pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. But we can turn that into gluttony. We are to love. Love is the very heart of the love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. But we can turn love into lust. It becomes a mammon. We can turn poise and confidence into pride. Jesus wants us to know what we are living for. for whom and what we are living for. Jesus, the kingdom of God, or mammon? And what does it mean to work for the kingdom of God? I won't go into a long discussion here, but maybe just by way of an example. Lately, I've been going to the gym a couple of times a week. I know that you... Anyway, I do have witnesses, so... Now, suppose, okay, we're at the gym and we see two people doing exercises. They're doing chin-ups and they're doing pull-ups and they're pulling a sled and they're on the bike and all, and the sweat is pouring out of it. They're doing exactly the same thing. But if you get to know the people, the one person, physical fitness has almost become, well, it has, a consuming passion. It's become a god. He is proud of the way he looks, and he wants others to say, wow, you look great. And so that's, yeah, it's become his god, if I may say. The other person, you talk to him, and he says, you know, the Bible tells me that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And I want the Holy Spirit to dwell in a sound body. And so therefore, I go through these exercises. I want to be there for my wife. I want to be there for my family. I want to be there for my church. And so do you see, even though they're doing exactly the same thing, for one, it's become a mammon. For the other, it's in the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is not something that you do, but it's really all that you do. That in your work world and in your retirement and in all of these things, that you're seeking to be a blessing, because you recognize that the things that you have are not that which you own, in the sense that you have provided. No, and all of these things will be added unto you, says Jesus. In other words, rather than the things of this world having a tight grip on me, I hang on to these things loosely. They're a blessing. They're a blessing from God. And so again, I need to be praying every day again, Lord, open my eyes that I may see where these have become, there's a tendency for these to become all-consuming in my life, that I may not worry about these things, that I may hold on loosely to all that I have. So what can we learn studying this parable? What have I learned? Again, this is not necessarily like a command in the sense of the Old Testament. It's not, oh, I'm a bad person because I worry at times. Rather, it is to be a reflection of our daily walk with God. When I'm concerned about something, and maybe very, very legitimately so, and it begins to lead into worry, I'm called to turn it over to the Lord. The Lord who is able to work in all situations for your good and mine. God is near. He loves me. I know that because I look to the cross. And Jesus calls me to be aware of how the devil is able to use the good things in creation to make it into a god. I need to be in daily prayer conversation with my Lord, ask him to open my eyes to see where I am being tempted to make something into a god. And I need help. I need help from the Lord, obviously. I need help from my wife. I need help from you. We need each other to remind ourselves God's provision. Worry has to do with the future. I project the present reality into the future, and I can easily worry about it. But when I truly think about the future, when I truly think about the new heavens and the new earth, and the only one who is able to usher us into that new reality, I place my hope, my trust in Him. He says to us, I've got this, folks. I've paid the price. This is indeed liberating. It is indeed very good news. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and Lord, help us to negotiate in life all the situations we face. There are different situations for every person sitting here, but Lord, that we truly may understand that you do care, you do love, and that we focus first of all on the cross, and then we focus on our lives. We pray for those who are going through difficulties. May they find that hope. May they find that grace in you. In Jesus' name, amen.